The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed seeds all throughout the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then, at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week in the Gospel, we spoke about sowing the seed and it falling on different types of ground. This week, we're talking about pulling weeds. Every gardener knows that the planting of seeds is, in a sense, the easy part of being a gardener. It's much more time-consuming to weed that same garden, and it's hard work. Someone once told me, when weeding, the best way to make sure that you're removing weeds and not the valuable plant is to pull on them. If they come out easy, they're the valuable plant. If they're more difficult to pull, they're weeds. Another variation on this was, to distinguish between the flowers and the weeds, was to pull everything, and what grows back is weeds. Sometimes good and bad can easily go side by side, sometimes even unnoticed. As a young student for the priesthood, I studied with a religious order called the Missionaries of the Sacred Heart. I studied with that order for 4 years, and on one of those years, called a novitiate year, we as a group of students went to the house where the order was founded in central France, a place called Issoudun. I spent 6 weeks of the summer there, and while I was there, the big news story on radio and television was that a convicted murderer who had been on the run for 7 years had been recaptured. Why was he not captured sooner? Where was he hiding, I hear you ask? It seems that on his escape from a court hearing in 1985, he had got a change of clothes, dark clothes, a black suit as it happened, and he went to a local community of nuns, a religious community of women, and offered them a week's retreat. And all he asked in return was board and food and somewhere to sleep. Obviously, he gave very touching retreats because his work was highly appreciated, so much so that the nuns phoned neighboring communities and told them of this lovely priest that had just arrived. And he went from community to community for 7 years, being fed and watered and boarded by the nuns. I'm wondering during those 7 years, did he ever give a homily on this piece of scripture about the weeds and the seed? I doubt if anyone likes to pull weeds. I'm sure even less so would you like to be described as a weed, seeing as we know that the weeds end up in the fiery furnace. The weeds, we're told, are all those who do evil in the longer version of today's gospel. And that's a little bit disturbing. Where does God draw the line when it comes to evil? Is it okay to say that those who commit murder or rape or adulterers or thieves are bad? Where does God draw the line? Does being a little bit dishonest in your tax returns, is that just a little bit of a fib? What about gossiping? I'm sure no one has ever done that. What about sins of omission? Have you ever seen your neighbor in need and live comfortably without helping them? Or what about how you contribute to your local community and to their church when God has been kind to you? There was an interesting report a number of years ago, which was about a special event designed for horticultural students in a college. It was once called by the pundit the World Series of Weeds. Agricultural students from universities here in the US and in Canada competed at being able to identify weeds and to prescribe the right chemical to kill them. They needed to be able to recognize the weeds when they were still tiny, because as one of the lecturers of the college said, by the time the weeds get big enough that anybody could recognize them, it's already too late to do anything about them. And I thought, that's an interesting statement. When the weeds get big enough that anybody could recognize them, it's too late to do anything about them. How many parents have been a little bit late at recognizing weeds growing in the lives of their children? Maybe weeds like drugs, maybe weeds like depression, or maybe weeds like hanging around with the wrong group. Or indeed, for that matter, as an adult, how many have recognized the vices like alcohol or tobacco or gambling or whatever other addiction could grasp you? Or even more likely, maybe a negative attitude, maybe bitterness or resentment or bigotry. We don't often like to talk about these in church because we don't want to seem judgmental. But maybe such things can spoil our existence as a community. Lives are still being hurt, hearts still being broken, relationships being torn. And here's the sad thing. The people whose lives are choked by weeds like these are, for the most part, very good people. They are good people who simply didn't recognize a weed when it was tiny enough. And then, in all of this, the good news, God is our Savior. You might not think so after listening to today's parable. God sounds like he's eager to destroy us when we wrong. However, to see this would be to misinterpret today's parable. The last thing God wants to do is to destroy us. God made us in his image, and he sometimes, and hopefully many times, makes us mindful of the weeds growing in our hearts so that he can save us from them. There was once a sermon on the internet by a Reverend Samuel Jones, telling about the concept of the recording angel. I'm not ever sure if you've heard about the recording angel, but in some churches it's a big thing. It's the idea or the doctrine that an angel writes down all the bad things that you've done in your life in order that God can one day mete out punishment. Well, Jones, the writer, said that a couple were burdened with a load of grief, although they once went to their local church in order to find some relief from their grief. Finally, after nothing was said for a long time, an elderly man stands up and said, "The most misleading concept in the church today is the recording angel. I can't believe that God remembers or cares to remember the sins or the incidents of our lives. Rather than God, I am the recording angel. My spirit and my body are my record. My spirit either grows to fullness or can decline to nothing. God has no need of recording devices. We must not think of God as being vengeful. God has created a better instrument, you and me." The old man went on to conclude that with God's permission, we have the privilege of having our sins wiped away. God offers us forgiveness, the opportunity to start afresh. It's a powerful thing. God has no need for a recording angel. Our own bodies and souls tell us the stories of our lives. God is the gardener who wants to pull the weeds from our life. It's not God's will that any of his children would suffer. God wants to help us. Regardless of what a mess our lives might ever end up in, God can yet turn that mess to a masterpiece. This is the meaning of the cross. God wants to save us from any power of sin, to remove those weeds from our lives. To many people, the cross is only about getting into heaven. They miss the glory of God's plan and God's purpose. The reason God hates sin is that because it hurts us. All of the sins that destroy people, destroy families, destroy relationships, destroy human potential, God wants to take them and throw them away. That is what the cross was about. Our God wishes our world to be restored to the way that he desired it to be from the beginning. A world without pain or suffering, a world without hatred and violence, hunger and greed. A world where people love and are loved without being used. So, we do live in a broken world. We do live in a world where weeds exist. We can expect things, we can hope for things to be perfect, but it's difficult. But we can make a start in making things more perfect, and we do that by making our way to the foot of the cross, where we kneel in deep contrition, and we ask God to pull any weeds that might grow in our heart, even if they're very small. These weeds may be bitterness, weeds of envy, weeds of lust. The list goes on and on. You know which weeds choke your spirit today. Give them to God. Let God throw them in the fire and consume them forever, because God is our Savior. God is the master gardener. Let God put the garden of your life in perfect order again. Amen.